I'm thankful to be here this morning. Thankful you can be here. And suppose I have a message that you would probably come to expect on a day like today. I'd like to talk about Father's Day. It's been something that's been quite a journey for me. I don't know how to necessarily put it in words. What it has meant to me to be a father, but it's been real important, and it's been something that I have enjoyed each stage of my children's life. After they decided that I was their friend, it seems like all of my children started out thinking that I was the enemy. But once they've decided that I was the friend, I've enjoyed every phase of it. Certainly enjoy having grandchildren. That's another dimension, another layer of blessing. I was thinking about a song that we have in our book, number 101. I'd just like to look at a few of the words that's here. And, you know, the song that was sung there just before we got up about Daddy being there for you at every phase of life. It's so good to have the father image in the life of youth. And ultimately, as fathers, it's so important for us to have God in our sphere to help us know how to be a father. Because that's really where we get it. That's really who has the ability to inspire us and challenge us to be what we should. In this song, number 101, it says, "My heavenly Father," that's quite a thought, isn't it, "is caring for me. My bark," that's a pretty insignificant little piece of wood, isn't it? You don't think of bark as being something that is a big earth, ocean-going vessel. So a bark, a little piece of wood. It says, "My bark, he is guiding over life's raging sea." So the contrast of the dimensions here, to me, I find quite fascinating. Me being such a small, insignificant piece. We've probably all been to a river or a creek and saw a piece of a tree bark fall and hit the water, and then it's just like it goes everywhere. It's hard to direct that. And to think about the vast change between a piece of bark and the size of a sea, that seems like life, doesn't it? Like the world that we're out on. He says, "But my heavenly Father is the one that's helping direct my little piece of bark. Though storms overshadow and billows are wild, they cannot overwhelm me because I'm his child." That's quite a thought, isn't it? There's nothing that should give more assurance to a child than to know that Father is there. That should be one of the most stabilizing things. You know, mothers have that impact on the children initially, but sooner or later the children should be able to realize that the buck really does stop with Father. That's really the most stable figure that should be in a child's life. And unfortunately, we live in a world that that's not the case. And if you are here this morning and you haven't had the stability of a real godly earthly father, I want you to know that we have one in our heavenly Father. And he not only wants to be your father today, but he wants to teach us as men how to be a better father. And notice the second verse. It says, "And when in the furnace of trial I stand, my Savior beside me doth hold to my hand." You know, there's coming a time in a child's life that the father can't do everything with them or for them. But when it comes to a place where it is, the father can't go any further. Maybe he physically is limited. There's things that my children are at a phase in life where they can outdo me physically. Yesterday we were climbing in and out of a ditch that was being dug by a backhoe, and these younger guys got in and out a lot better than I did. And I would look down in there and think, you know, I know how to do this. You just jump and land in the bottom of the ditch. But the thought of jumping into the ditch, you know, there was just something about that that didn't sound like a good idea. Or to just step across. It was only dug with a 1 foot bucket, so yeah, you ought to be able to step across that, you know. No problem. I saw those fellas doing it quite a bit yesterday. But to me, it was like, I don't know, can I do that or not? I did it a few times. But it says here, when you're in the furnace, it says, he'll hold my hand. Be faithful, he whispers. In accents so mild, the flames cannot harm me, for I am his child. When clouds thickly gather and hide from my view the face of my Savior, his eye pierces through. So when things look like they're about to cover us up and blow us away, his eye is able to see through all of that. It says, he keeps me from being by Satan beguiled. Securely I'm resting, for I am his child. That's a heavenly father. That is the thing that we want to hold on to. And I wished I could bottle up the image of an earthly father and market it to where people could partake of that, and it would help them see what God can be to them. I know that I have an unfair advantage because I had one of those kind of fathers. And it's been, I want to say, it's been relatively easy for me to grasp what it means to have a heavenly father. But we live in a world where that's a rare commodity. And I'm sad to say that the concept of fatherhood is about obsolete in our world today. The concept of it, the reality of it. Oh, there's daddies out there. In fact, we've reduced our expectations to the point that we have a term that people use in our society today that makes me, if anything, makes me get close to being angry and want to lash out at something, it's this term of baby daddy. It's like, what are you talking about? you brought this child into this world, and you cannot, you're not man enough to be a father to it. I'll try to be calm this morning. But I despise that term. I despise that term. Because parenthood seems to be just a biological function anymore, and no commitment. No commitment to shape the future for this little child or to guide it and help it develop. It seems like that everybody is okay with that. I won't tell you it's not okay. It's not okay at all. It's not the right thing to do. It's not okay to be a baby mama either. I mean, that's just as disgusting and despicable in my mind as being a baby daddy. We need fathers and mothers in our society today. We have a heavenly Father, and you know, just as marriage is designed to be able to portray the church to the world, and we should be able to communicate the love of God and the design of the church by pointing to marriage, and we can't do that anymore. We're trying to use the church to tell everybody how to get along in marriage. Unfortunately, that's the age that we live in. So here we have to use the scriptural principles to help people understand what their roles should be instead of somebody knowing exactly what it's like to have a good, solid, earthly father. And it helps them to be able to grasp what it's like to have a relationship with God. Now we live in a time when not everybody, thankfully, but there's so many people that have a distorted perspective of what a father is that it's hard for them to believe that God is a good thing. Instead, they think God is out to get them. And that's not the truth. God wants to be your father. But it's like someone took the definitions of the words in our dictionary and scrambled them all up. The word father don't mean what father used to mean. And that's how we get these terms like baby daddy. And it really is distressing to me. I'd like for us to look at a few scriptures this morning. I'd like to begin in verse 6 of the chapter, sixth chapter of Deuteronomy. I know I said that kind of funny, but let's go to the book of Deuteronomy, in the sixth chapter, and we'll start at the sixth verse. And we're trying to get a principle down here. I've referred to this many times in my life. It says, "In these words, which I command thee this day, shall be in thine heart." So when something is in our heart, it's more than superficial. This is our operating system, if we want to speak like the computer age that we live in. Our operating system is that these are words which should be the natural, automatic. It should be the thing that you fall back to, not an aspirational thing. It's not something you're reaching up to, but this is who you are. All right? He says, "In these words which I command thee this day shall be in thine heart." This is who you should be. All right? He says, "And thou shalt teach them diligently unto thy children." Now, we could go back and read before and after this, and he's talking about the commandments and statutes that he wanted them to live by. But he says, this ought to be down in you, and this is the way you should operate. He says, thou shalt teach them diligently unto thy children, and talk of them when thou sittest in thine house, and when thou walkest by the way, and when thou liest down, and when thou risest up. Your whole life should be communicating to who? To your children, carefully, and teaching them. And we'll talk a little bit more as we go on about the principles of teaching. But to teach is different than just showing somebody something one time. You know, we all learn at a different rate. We all learn maybe a little bit differently, but teaching is something that takes patience. It takes consistency. It takes having an overall objective and a plan. And he says this ought to be your mode of action. It ought to be down in your heart. You ought to know who you are, what you stand for, and why you took the path that you did. He says here, you shall teach them diligently to your children. And when should you do that? It's in your speech. You talk about it. It says, you talk of them when thou sittest in thine house, and when thou walkest by the way. When you're walking somewhere, when you're traveling, we drive cars now, we don't walk everywhere. But when you're driving down the road, what's your conversation about? I can remember a real valuable lesson that I learned while we were traveling. One of them was that I couldn't change my dad's mind. I remember that. And I remember, too, that he came to a place that he told me something that I'll never forget, and I'm going to share it with you. But we done this while we were it seemed like we were going to see my grandparent or something. I just don't remember where we were going, but we were driving an extended distance, and we got into a discussion about some mechanical things. And my wife will know that that sounds familiar. And as we were going down the road, I began to debate or try to debate with my dad about what terminology was correct on a piece of an engine. And we went on a ways, and my dad tried to explain it to me. He knew what he was talking about, all right? And he tried to explain it to me two or three times. And finally, I was contending that I was right and he was wrong. And I don't know how old I was, but I was probably, 8 or 10, 12 maybe, somewhere along there. Big enough, I thought I was pretty smart. And directly, Dad said, "You can believe what you want to, but you're wrong." I hadn't changed my dad any. He wasn't ugly to me. He just told me, "You're wrong." You know what I discovered as time went on? He was right and I was wrong. He says, talk to your children as you walk by the way. While you're traveling, when you're sitting in the house, when you lie down, when they come and ask you a question and you've already went to bed, or maybe you go to wake them up or put them to bed and they got one more question. Be consistent. It needs to be your motive. Be consistent in the way you answer them, your manner of answering them, and your information. Be consistent. We're taking what God says, and He's our Heavenly Father, and want to apply it to being an earthly father, because our world is so disordered. They don't know. Did you know your Heavenly Father will be consistent? He knows what the right answer is. He'll be consistent with you. And He will use the same manner to communicate to you. It says, and thou shalt bind them for a sign upon thine hand, and thou shalt be as frontlets between thine eyes, and thou shalt write them upon the post of thine house and upon thy gates. So there, it ought to be on display in your life. Those of you that haven't been to my house, I would venture that if you were asked, you could probably envision what my, you've got some kind of perception of what my house might look like. And maybe what it might contain. And maybe what might be out in my yard or in my workshop. You may or may not be right, but you probably got something pictured. So he says here the things, your surroundings and your circumstances ought to support the type of character you are. And he says, and it shall be when the Lord thy God shall have brought thee into the land which he sware unto thy fathers, to Abraham, to Isaac, and to Jacob, to give thee in goodly cities which thou buildest not. We'll stop there. The Lord wants us as fathers to communicate on a consistent, systematic way. We're not all going to be the same personality, but be there for the ones that you're the father for, even if it's not your biological children. Be there for them. Be consistent. Be the one that they can anchor to. You know how valuable that is? To be able to anchor into. This is somebody that I can respect. This is someone I can depend on. This is someone that is not going to be different every time I come in contact. This is someone that will be there when something goes bump in the night. You know, I never woke up. There was times I woke up as a young boy and something startled me. Something scared me. Maybe I had a bad dream. I never worried about whether my dad was there for me. It was just that's something that's incredibly valuable. And I know our world today is missing that many times. It's just not there. But I want us to know today that God will be there. He's our Heavenly Father. He's going to be there for us when something goes bump in our night in life. When there's an unexpected development, He'll be there for us. He's not off somewhere doing something that's a distraction. Lord, help us as men to be that type of person. It means something for us to establish the right example, to set a precedence. You know what it means to set a precedence? It means to initiate something that's going to be standard operating procedure. And men, we can do that with one another. But by all means, set the right precedence in your own home. I've went to lunch with people that didn't know me. And so, just not so long ago, we went to, I met a fella in at Brahms in Carthage, and it had to do with, business, and he wanted to meet me for lunch, and we ordered a hamburger, and we sat down at the table, and when we got the food, I said, if you don't mind, I want to offer thanks. And I think I could have said, I'm going to stand on my head for a few minutes, and got the same expression on his face. I don't think he grew up in a home where they had ever offered thanks at a meal. But I established a precedence. You know, the next time that he eats with me, you know what I think he's going to anticipate? This dude's going to want to say a prayer before we eat. That's setting a precedence, all right? So the whole deal about your mode of operation, teaching while you're sitting, while you're walking, when you go to lay them down, all of those kind of things, you're setting a precedence. When you say, son, we're going to have to pray about this one. I don't know the answer. Or daughter, I don't believe I'd do that. You set the precedence. Establishing those. Instilling values. Did you know that because we are born with a carnal nature and it's easy for us to go down our own path, you know that it's our job. Today it's fathers. Here a while back it was mothers, but today it's fathers. It's our job to instill values. That means that you demonstrate to them what is important and what's valuable. In Galatians 4, in the New Testament, in the 19th verse, notice what it says here. My little children, of whom I travail in birth again, until Christ be formed in you. What's the Apostle Paul saying here? He said, I'm trying to be the father a little bit. I'm trying to instill some values in you to where, you know, Proverbs says, I believe, train up a child in the way he should go, and when he is old, he will not depart from it. I may have messed that up a little bit. So, what does it mean to train? What does it mean to teach? Instilling values takes consistency. It takes self-discipline, and it takes genuine love. If you don't really love someone, and you don't really love what you're teaching, it'll be hard for you to instill the values. If you don't demonstrate it yourself, that's why it's so important for us to be that father image. The father-child relationship is one of many repeated lessons. Many repeated lessons. And it needs to be more than I told you. It's child, daughter, son, call them by name, this is what I'm talking about. This is why it's important. This is why I told you not to use the tool like that. This is why I taught you to put the chain around this way first. This is why it's important to think about what you're saying before you just say it. This is why it's important to pray. This is why it's important to learn the scriptures. All of those things, it's a time of many repeated lessons. I'd like to turn to James over in the New Testament, the first chapter of James, towards the end of the book, James chapter 1. Begin reading in verse 17. He says, every good gift and every perfect gift is from above, and cometh down from the Father of lights, with whom is no variableness, neither shadow of turning. Of his own will begat he us with the word of truth, that we should be a kind of first fruits of his creatures. There's some probably much deeper meaning in these verses than what I would like to capitalize on, but I would just like to capitalize on the phrases here where it says every good gift and every perfect gift is from above. We know that's talking about the perfect and the good gifts coming from God, right? And then it says, and cometh down from the Father of lights, the Father. And the word Father is capitalized. I believe it's talking about God the Creator. And then, you know, he could have said that without that last phrase. But he did it because I think it's important. Paul could have left those details off, but he gave it there, and I believe it gives us a pattern using God here as our Heavenly Father, and he tells us some details about how a father should operate. He says, with whom is no variableness, neither shadow of turning. So what is he saying about our Heavenly Father's character? Because he could have got the message across that he had at the first part of the verse without even saying that, right? He could have told us that every good gift and every perfect gift is from above and cometh down from the Father, period. We got the message, right? But he says, with whom is no variableness, neither shadow of turning. So he gives us some insight about what it means to be a father. I think, at least for today's discussion, I think that's what it's talking about. And what he's saying is that the father is not whimsical. You know what that means? Today I think I'm going to go fishing because they got something for me at work to do that I don't want to do. That's whimsical. All right? Well, I think I'll go to work today because they have whatever. They're going to serve brisket at lunch. I'm going to go to work today. That's not a characteristic of a father. A father is consistent. That's what it means, no variableness. Consistency. That is a parameter, that is a character quality that should be in the father. You know, there's people that, on the job, I've had those that were considerably younger than me, work with me. I've kind of, you might say, been a mentor to them by default, not necessarily by design. And one person we were talking of, I don't remember what, it was at the lunch table or something, and I believe they really did respect me, and they came to the point in the conversation and they called me dad. You know, we can be a father image to people that's not really our children. But how do we get there? It's because we have the characteristic of a father. Consistency, not whimsical. It says no variableness. That's a father characteristic. That's something that you can depend on. We know how they're going to react to disappointment. We know how they're going to react to disaster and catastrophe. We'll stop and ask ourselves, how do we respond to that? Is there some room for us to grow and to mature and to develop more father-like characteristics? Probably all of us can see areas where we can be better at. But he says here, a father is not variable, it's not whimsical. And then he says, neither shadow of turning. Well, that means there's no hint of changing. There's no hint that they're going to be catch them on a different day so they'll give you a different answer. No, that's not a characteristic of a father. You know, I heard a story one time about someone that wanted to do something that they knew the scripture taught against. And they wanted to do something different, contrary. And they said they asked and asked and asked, and finally the Lord told them it was all right. And the scripture plainly taught the other thing. That's not the Heavenly Father. I don't know who they heard, but it wasn't God speaking to them. You know, a characteristic of a father is not turning. You know what that kind of load that puts on a father? A father needs to have it figured out if he's not going to change. He needs to know the direction and why he's going that way. You take a position that you don't want your children to have a certain thing. Well, I don't care what it is. It could be a moped. You need to know why you don't want them to have a moped. Not just because you don't want them to have one. You need to know, there's got to be something there. And it needs to be something that you can back up with I just use that. That's just a very, please don't take that as what I think all fathers ought to take that position. I just use that for an illustration. But if there's something that you want to make a requirement, know why it is. And it better be more than that's the way my daddy did it. You know, I could have told my computer, my children, you can't have a computer. My dad didn't have one. Now, what good is that? Well, my dad had, there was no opportunity because it hadn't been invented, you know. So why would I hold that position on my children? I need to have a good, solid reason other than it wasn't available in the past generations. But no hint of turning. There's principles involved here. All right? I'd like to go to Proverbs, the first chapter. Proverbs had a lot to say about. In fact, my boys know that when we turn to Proverbs, we probably had something we was going to teach them about. But in Proverbs, the first chapter, in the 8th verse, it says, "My son, hear the instruction of thy father, and forsake not the law of thy mother." My son, it says, hear the instruction of thy father. He's got something he's going to impart to you. If you never had a father that took time to teach you something, I want you to know that I'm sorry and that you were shortchanged in life. I remember those times. Sometimes they were intentional, where my dad took me and said, here, I want to show you how to do something. And many times it was by observation, because I wanted to walk in his steps. And I admired him because he was there for me. But I know that I'm holding on to something that's a treasure, and it's not common in our world today. And if you had it, if you had that kind of example in your life, I want you to know it's a very, very valuable thing. And then my heart goes out to so many of the young people today that haven't had a father that says, child, let me show you how to tie a knot. Let me show you how to start that bolt. Let me show you how to drive that nail. Let me show you how to stand when somebody is speaking to you. And this is how you shake hands. And this is how you be courteous to the ladies. And this is how you respect your mother. You know, my children got in trouble when they didn't respect their mother. There's a time that any kind of bantering becomes irrelevant, and you're just not going to talk to your mother that way. In fact, you need to apologize to her. You know, there's people in this world today that's never had a father that gave them that kind of advice or gave them that kind of instruction. And I'm sorry it's that way. But he said, here, my son, hear the instruction of thy father, and forsake not the law of thy mother, for they shall be an ornament of grace unto thy head and chains about thy neck. It'll be something that'll help you in life. And he says in verse 10, my son, If sinners entice thee, consent thou not. Now, it goes on and he elaborates more in this chapter about that phrase, but I just want us to notice how it was communicated. He said, listen, your father's fixing to teach you something. That's how we started. And then the father taught him something. He said, my son, if sinners entice thee, consent thou not. He didn't say, he didn't reason with him. He didn't say, now you know where sinners go. And I want you to stop and think about if you become one of them, then you'll go where they go. That's reasoning, right? He just said, plain and simple, if sinners entice thee, consent thou not. Did you know that's a father type instruction? Be careful about deviating from that. You want to be a father? Be able to give clear, concise instruction. We're not reasoning, we're teaching. There's a time for explanation, but many times the best method and the father type method is to give direct and to the point instructions. Expectations set without reasoning. When I get home, I expect you to have the fence fixed. When I get there, I expect you to have all your toys picked up. I don't care what it is. Don't go down the path of explaining that it's not going to make you happy. Don't you want to make daddy happy? Don't do that. That's not the way a father needs to take care of it. Set an expectation. When your children are little, learn to just set simple expectations. Now, when my children was 3 or 4 or 5, I didn't say, when I get home, I expect the yard to be mowed. I didn't do that. But there were others. I remember one time that I told them, I want you to pick up your toys. And I set a time. When this time comes, I'm going to come in with a trash bag. And anything you haven't picked up, I'm going to pick it up. And if I pick it up, I'm going to put it in the trash bag and we're throwing it away. I set a very simple expectation. I set an alarm. And they didn't believe me. When the time came, I got my bag, I went in their room, I started picking up their toys and putting them in a bag. You would have thought the sky was falling. Listen, being a father is a tall order. Be careful. You need to have those qualities where there's no variableness of turning. Listen, we can pass on something to another generation that'll help them be strong and be able to pass it on again and again. We got a heavenly Father. You know, there's coming a day that if we don't have all of our things in order, we're going to end up with a result that we didn't want. And it's not because our heavenly Father hadn't set the right expectation. He's told us. There's time now for me to take care of my life and get myself in line with God. There's time right now, but there's coming a time when it's all going to be over. There's coming a time that the bell's going to ring and there's not going to be any more opportunity. And right now, the Heavenly Father is saying, take care of that time. Get your life in order so you can meet me in peace. So this instruction in Proverbs is about a father setting a clear expectation. If sinners entice thee, consent thou not. Don't try to convince them to do something else. Just you don't go with them. Instruction is where the values are instilled. Reasoning is an attempt to harness values that's already present and redirect them. Don't try to reason with someone with a child. We're talking about fathers here. Don't try to reason with them when the values hasn't been instilled. Instill the values first. You instill values by setting expectations and giving clear instruction. I want to stop this morning. I'd like for us, if we get a chance this afternoon, to read the fourth chapter of Proverbs. If you got a chance, read it, and we'll talk about it tonight, Lord willing. It starts out saying, "Hear ye children, the instruction of a father, and attend to no understanding." A father's influence is something this world is missing. I wish, as I said earlier, I could bottle it up and hand it out, market it somehow. You know, they have things that in a bottle, down the automotive aisles in the Walmart, maybe the parts store. It might be labeled something like engine restore. You ever seen that product like that? Transmission restore. They have stuff you can rub on furniture and woodwork that restores finish, stain finish in particular is what I'm talking about. When wood is stained and scratched up, and they've got stuff that's maybe the word restores. I wished I could have a bottle of Fatherhood Restore and we could sell it by the, I don't know, what's these energy drinks? They're anywhere from, that's what we need. Instead of energy drinks, we need Fatherhood Restore in a can where people can drink it and it puts things in the right order, in the right perspective. I don't know. It probably wouldn't sell very good in today's market, but I wished I could bottle it up and pass it out, and people would drink it, and it would do them some good. You know, the best thing is for us to get a hold of it and start the revival. It doesn't have to go on to the next generation. You can be a rock in the billows if you remember that thought. You pray for me.